Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Look today, and I'm going to take this reasonably slowly because it's an important word. As I was speaking to the Lord this week, because I do that occasionally, you'll be glad to know as your pastor that occasionally I speak to Jesus. And I was out walking, and the word that kept coming to me was outsiders, right? And I'm sitting listening to the Lord going, outsider. I've always felt a wee bit like an outsider. I was never that kid, right? You know, back in the 80s when I was growing up, I was the kid from the council estate who went to a grammar school. Do you know that? So I was always just kind of on the edge because my dad didn't play cricket for Bangor. And, you know, and they weren't part of the hockey club and the golf club. You know what I mean? I was the kid from the housing estate who just... Me and my brother were the first in our family to go to grammar school. Do you understand that? Always just felt slightly on the edge of things. Kind of feeling like never the cleverest kid in school, but absolutely not. A toity loiterer on the path of knowledge, as I was once described, like my father. And let that one sink. It's not a compliment. And, you know, it did well and all the rest, but always kind of felt like just not, you know, there's always the, you know, Benny's here. I'm going to embarrass him, but they talk in school about the cool kids. Yeah? Was it any of the cool kids here this morning? Okay. Yeah. If you know were the cool kids, I would like to say. Anyway, do you know what I mean? So it was this, but it's that feeling, listen to me. It's that feeling of being, I've always grown up kind of experiencing that a little. Like, I'm always just one, there's like a degree of separation from what, do you know what I mean? And that's where grace is amazing. Because your world is full of people who feel like they're on the outside. The world is full of outsiders. You know, when actually we pull back the layers and we pull back the layers of onions and people, like, most people feel like they're on the outside. They may not let on, but they feel like they are. Well, and what I mean by that is they're desperately searching to belong, and they're desperately searching to be part, to connect, to find meaning and to find purpose. And I think most people live with a sense of wanting and searching for that. So I want to talk to you today because over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to talk to you from a story which I absolutely love. It's one of Pastor Prince's favorite stories as well, actually. He speaks into it a lot. And it builds on actually what we've been talking about, because the last number of weeks we've been talking about how Jesus completes the sacrifices, yeah? So the five sacrifices, the Levitical sacrifices, which I hope you enjoyed. I hope revealing Jesus to you and what he, how he's all-encompassing and how he brings everything together into your world. I hope you enjoyed that and seeing and remembering. Remember last week, every time you mess it up and you fall short, the gap that exists there, the price is paid for it. So I'm going to encourage the parents again because it's really strong in my heart. If you're a parent and you feel like you continue, like if I could go back and do it again, the trespass offering says it doesn't matter where you messed it up, I am able to restore above and beyond. Amen? That is good news for people today. It's good news for me, for sure. And when I was thinking this week, some of my favorite verses ever are found in Ephesians 3. And it just says, and Gary has done a brilliant job preaching on these from this pulpit. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, listen to me, abundantly, above all that we can ask for or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church. So it's funny because I was having this conversation with Phil this morning and before you guys come in. And I said, Phil, I want to speak to you about your 2019, not to you, but to everybody. And when Helen gets up onto her feet this morning, she goes, start to think about 2019 now before you hit it. All right, so I kind of went, oh, I actually did hear Jesus this week. That's always encouraging whenever the Lord is speaking that way. Because, excuse me, the word that I want to bring to you, tikka masala the night before preaching is never a good idea. That's all I'm going to say, all right? I'm still enjoying it. Because the Lord spoke to me about you and for the church, okay? You as an individual and us together. And I want to listen to you because I want you to really hear me this morning, because I'm going to say this, I'm going to say it really clearly. We need to grow up. Now listen to me. The purpose that God has for this church is an incredible purpose. It's an eternal purpose. It is a purpose that he designed from the very beginning of time. We are here in this time for such a time as this according to Scripture. When we look at how our country and people are going buck daft around this, that, and the future, we sit today with the eternal purpose of God, a purpose that will last forever. The times that we live in are not by accident, and you're not here by accident, and this church is not here by accident. You know, we are here for God's purpose. And so I want to speak into that because Scripture always operates on different levels. There is the level of, and honestly, you are well fed in this church. And we spoke to you from the summer about feed well. Because when you feed well, then fruit comes and you have strength. But underlying all of Scripture, there are multiple purposes for which God sends it. That's why, you know, it's like looking at a light hitting a prism and one light hits and there's multiple colors come off. Scripture is described that way. And you see layers of grace, because if it was simply just, it means one thing for you, right? And I received that, I fed on it, and that is it. Well, you're going to quickly run out of the goodness of God. Do you get that? Because if it's up to you to understand, yeah, I've heard that before and I've done it. And what, you know what I mean? You're going to run out. You will read all the books, hear all the sermons, do all the things. And I felt the Lord really encouraged me because I want you to think for yourself, but I want you to think about your nearest and your dearest. Because he, listen to me, is able to do, let me read it to you, exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask for or you can think for according to his power that works in us. Do you get that? So I don't know which way you want to frame the next 12 months of your life. I don't know which way you want. Is it the same old, same old? Do you know what? I'm going to replay the same old scenes. I'll be half-baked, half-in, half-out, sure. Jesus plus whatever. That's up to you. But the Spirit of the Lord says to you this morning, and as your pastor, I need to say to you, he wants you to grow up a little. He wants you to go from just eating or drinking the milk and getting on the solid stuff. That's what Paul said the whole way through the New Testament when he was dealing with believers. He was going, it's fine for a period of time where it's just about you eat, 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 eat. But you know, if you keep eating, all right, and just keep eating, at some point, well, you look like me, number one, but you know, don't find they're laughing. Fading away to a mountain, as I said to someone recently. They didn't like it because I was talking about them, not me. And but there's something about going, maturity in faith looks like when I've received grace for me, it's also grace for somebody else. That's what separates the men from the boys, the wee ones from the grown-ups. Do you get that? And actually, the Lord wants you to grow up. You know, if I took any one of my kids today out for something to eat, and I took them to McDonald's or whatever, and they wet themselves and soiled themselves whilst they were sitting at the table, and I, Ben's 14, that would not be cool, right? Do you get me? See, when he was 6 months, that was fine. But now he's 14, we expect different, don't we? Ben's so embarrassed, he's doing a complete redner, as we would say, all right? Not that he's done that recently, it's at least 6 months since that's happened, all right? But do you get what I'm saying? Church, listen to me. You know, there are two levels going to be operating here. The Lord's going to speak to you over these next few weeks for you to be encouraged, but he wants to encourage you so that you're, like Phil described, you're not stuck. Or is it Helen? You're not stuck. 2019 is not a year of being stuck. It's about going from grace to grace and glory to glory. And part of that will be when you move in your heart from what I have received, I now find grace. It's the same grace for somebody else. And so I don't know what's going on in your family or in your relationships. I don't know. But what I do know is he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, all right? When Phil's praying for the kids who are far away, for the relationships that are broken, for the people who are mired in drink or drugs or whatever, or for the people who are just so hurt with church, whatever it is, okay? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever hope or dream for, okay? Amen? So listen to the Lord because... It's for the outsider. At some point you were an outsider. Do you get that? You're sitting here today in the goodness and the love of God, sitting in a warm church, okay, with in the presence of Jesus, being encouraged and fed about your life, because at some point somebody reached for the outsider. Somebody said, this message in my life is good enough, better enough, more than enough. This is what's really going to change you. And whether it was 40 years ago or whether it was 6 months ago, I don't really care. Somebody reached out to the outside to go, come and see this Jesus. He'll tell you everything about yourself, but you'll walk away feeling loved. Amen? And so I want you to hear the word in that. I want you to listen to the word in that. And I want you to think, Lord, how am I going to grow and how am I going to stretch in my faith? How am I going to, because faith we need to exercise and we need to go, Lord, as I've received, I want to see not just my head filled with knowledge, but my heart filled with life and that life overflowing to the family and to my colleagues, to my friends, because you have a heart for the outsider. Do you know the whole thing from Genesis 1 was God saying from the very beginning, I'm coming for those on the outside. His whole heart, his whole message and his whole gospel is for people who don't feel like they fit, who are lost. His whole heart, his whole reason why he hung on that cross was not to create a comfy club for us. It was so that we would know that we are loved. But he always, he searches and he scans for those who don't yet know him and who he wants to redeem forever. And we're going to see in this story, we're going to look at Ruth, all right? The story of Ruth is a beautiful, beautiful story. It is rich in its... It is a story all about Jesus, all right? So if you're going, that's from the Old Testament again, it's all Jesus, all right? And what you're going to see in this beautiful, beautiful story of Ruth is there are some massive themes. And it's everything written into this story is because it points you to Jesus, but it shows you the heart of God for you and for the people around you. And so here's what I thought. See, when it comes to stuff like this in 2019, I'm trying to go, let faith rise in you that it's going to be different. Amen? What is your world? It's going to be different. Let me say it again. It's going to be different. Amen? Because whenever the Lord starts to speak like this, it's because, remember I said to you even in the summer, if he tells you to feed on something now, it's because he is bringing you towards a climax. He's bringing you towards a restoration. And he builds faith in you for the moment. Do you understand that? So when you think about those people today and over these next few weeks, and you think about 2019, even for yourself, it's because he's preparing you. The Lord just doesn't jump up and surprise you in a moment like that. He can do it. But what he does is he wants to build you up so that you go from being kids in faith to strong men and women of faith. The Bible describes men of faith. Do you get that? Not wee boys of faith. It describes men who know how to stand, who know how to be rooted and grounded in the love of God, to walk with humility and love and grace, and to stand. And next year, it's not just about standing where you are, but it's about seeing trajectory towards the purpose of God in you and in your family and around you. Do you get that? He's preparing you now. Helen is spot on. Don't wait until January to start to think about this year. The Lord's speaking to you now. So let the word come. Let the truth come. Let grace come. Let faith come. Because even in your head this morning, you're going to be thinking about people. You're going to be thinking about situations. And you might even get the feel of, oh, God, I couldn't do that. Speak to them about Jesus and grace. Are you bonkers? They'll think I'm mad. Do you know what? They think you're mad anyway. Get over yourself, all right? It's like, what are we protecting when we think like that, really? You know? Remember I said that faith comes whenever the Lord paints pictures. Do you get that? So what I want you to do is I want you to hold that vision of where you are for yourself, but those people in your life. Because the Lord builds faith in you for change and restoration by painting a picture of what you want to see. Do you get that? And you're going to see it so clearly in this beautiful picture of Ruth. Does that make sense? Is that good? Because I've loved 2018. I have been blessed beyond anything I would have imagined. Genuinely. Totally. As I look towards 2019, in some areas of my life, I am already completely and utterly overcome with the blessing of God. And I'm not even there. I'm not even there. And the Lord's already sorted out a lot of stuff for me. Okay? But part of me is going, it's not enough. And it's not about money or things or jobs or work or anything. It's about understanding that I have an eternal purpose. That I have a purpose, a cause, and a belief in my heart, and it is Jesus and his gospel. It is Jesus and his work, because it is all about him, all right? And I'm not finding rest until I start to get my head into my heart into that place of going, Lord, tell me about that purpose for my life, because everything else is just a wee bit whatever. Do you get that? No. I just want to be quite comfortable. Do you know what the truth of it is? It's like as we get past, all right, our fear, as we get past our, as we get past our fear, as we get past ourselves, as we get past our own sense of protecting ourselves and reputation, all that. There is so much more freedom. Wide open spaces, Phil said this morning. The Lord brings you to wide open space, all right? I believe that for 2019. I absolutely believe it. So let the word come, receive it. Think about it for yourself, but let the Lord build faith in your heart for the purpose that he has for you to be grace for somebody else. Amen? Brilliant. Does that make sense? Well, if it doesn't, tough. Just stick at level one. Jesus, what does this mean for me? So this is a beautiful picture. Do you know what the themes are that we're going to discuss? So hold these intention. Oh, this is brilliant for me. But what would it be like for them? All right? Okay, so the first thing we'll talk about is rest. You know, whenever your life looks dark, what this story is going to tell us when we start to read it in a minute is that you can rest and let God work. There's a mega theme. Whenever you rest all you in Jesus, okay, what that means is you stop trying to work it out, you stop carrying the burden. When you rest, he brings it to you. Oh, that's good, all right? And Jesus wants you to know that he is your source and he wants you to be prepared for greater blessing. But he wants you to know that it's all going to be him. We're going to see that. The second theme that we're going to look at is that there's unconditional love and grace for the outsider. What I love in this story is Boaz is a picture of Jesus. So when you read Boaz, I'll keep doing that. Next week, I'm going to talk about the kinsman redeemer. And you're going to see grace in a new way whenever you see Boaz again. But there's also hope for your future. And that's what I'm talking about. Do you know how you know you're growing in grace? Is when something changes in your heart and you go, what is grace for me is now grace for them. That's how you know you're growing up. It's not because you can recount Pastor Prince sermons to me, all right? It's because you know as I've received, then I give. Whenever I have grace for them and the grace that I receive becomes from them, that's you growing and maturing. Do you understand that? That's what it's about. Not how many sermons or books you've read. And what we're going to see here is that, you know, there's hope today for you. But honestly, you're going to see a picture of Jesus redeeming your generations and their generations. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. All right, are we good? Are we good to go? So turn up your Bibles in Ruth. We're going to look at Ruth 1. Ruth, let me give you some background just so you know the context. Ruth means friend or beauty or beautiful friend, okay, in Hebrew. And names are going to be very significant in this book. It takes place, the story that we're going to look at takes place in the 400 years after Joshua has entered the promised land. And they've come through the time of the kings, and now this is the time of the judges. Now, the judges were raised up to deliver Israel from their enemies, all right? So the judges are raised up, but they're still in this kind of cycle of defeat. You hear about, you know, the Philistines are attacking them in the story of Samson. But in this particular time, listen to me, it's the Moabites. And Ruth was a Moabite. And this is amazing. Where do you see grace just unfold in this? The Moabites worship pagan gods, and they were an enemy of the people of God. They were Gentiles, so therefore in these days they weren't in covenant. They didn't have all the promises written to the people of Israel. I'll bless you when you go in and when you come out. All of those promises did not apply to the Gentiles, of which Ruth was one, and the Moabites were her group. Now, whenever you read this book, I want you to see yourself like Ruth. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She is an outsider. She's not in the line of Israel, and that's what's going to make what God does so much more remarkable. So if you feel like an outsider yourself this morning, or you have people who are outsiders, then this is for you. In fact, just to give you some more information, the Moabites, that tribe were the result, they're the descendants of Ammon and Moab. Whenever Lot and his daughter had an incestuous relationship, Ammon and Moab are the result, and the Moabites are their line. Now, what is incredible for me, I just want to hit you straight away to go, so you have this complete mess, if you like. There's no way you can be blessed if you are of a tribe, number one, outside of the covenant. You're not one of the insiders, you're an outsider. You've always been an outsider. In fact, it's not just that you're an outsider, but you're the result of incest, okay? Not good. And what's interesting for me is that Ruth, the Moabite of the tribe who are outside, not part of God's promises. Do you know what? She becomes the great grandmother of who? King David. King David, and therefore in the line of Christ. Let me just tell you this now. Wherever you stand today, whatever your past has been, whatever your 2018 has been, whatever theirs is, do you believe that he will redeem the course of your history, your life, your legacy for his purpose forever. Because he's saying to you, read this story, it's for you. She was so on the outside, so excluded, so not in the flow of what where she could find blessing. Yet God reaches in and says, all of your history means nothing to me because I'm going to show you whenever I put my hand on you, I will change you forever. That's grace. I will take you out of the darkest place. I will remove your past like that. And I will, not just will I bless you, but the whole of history will be blessed because of what I did in you. Now, that gives me faith for people in my life. Do you hear me? That gives me faith to go, how incredible would it be that the people that God has put around me, that in a moment of grace, in a moment of unconditional love and favor, that not just that I would get blessed because I get to do it, but they could be the people that for hundreds of years past where we are today, if God spares us and doesn't come back, but for the next 50 years could be the people where the purpose of God is released. We look at them today and go, there's no way that would work. Or they might be up to their neck in sin. We might judge them whatever way, but when the Lord looks at them, he goes, I will redeem anything and anyone for my purpose and my glory. And I'm getting the sense of how we judge people and how whenever we walk out of here having received grace, having received love, having received that encounter, then somehow we then judge through our lens, okay, and our humanity what God can do. And he goes, really? Honestly, lift your head up. I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think according to my power that is in you. Not your power that's in you, but my power that is in you. Amen. Who are they? Is it your kids? Is it your neighbors? Is it the people you go to school with? I don't know. But what I do know is that God is not finished with them yet. All right? And he does not say to you, go through 2019 with the same old. He says, lift your head up and see for the purpose for which I've called you, because it's an incredible purpose. All right? He will change the course of everything and everyone. I love this. Rebellious pagan people outside of the covenant. Yeah, what does God say? I chose you. I love it. I've chosen you. He's unfolding grace, right? In your life, okay, to work you into a place of abundance and favor. That is true. And I just want to say today that some of us going into 2019 have got to let go of everything that we may be going to bring in with us. Can I just say that? Patterns of thinking, patterns of behavior. Going, Lord, how do I do that? The Lord says, if you come to me, I'm going to show you. You see, you'll see next week how he redeems her. It's amazing. What a picture of grace. But don't walk into 2019 when the Lord said, I can do abundantly more than you could ever ask or hope for. So much more for you. Isn't that good? So much more. It's good for some of you. So much more. I actually think that sometimes being on the outside is a great advantage. What do I mean? I think that particularly when it comes to the church, I think we have a much better chance of reaching people with real love the further they are away from religion. So let's just turn that one around, shall we?
They're so far away.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because where the darkness is darkest, the light is the brightest. You get that? Where the darkness is the darkest, the light is the brightest. Think about that for your own life. That gives me such hope. See all the fears that the enemy plays on? Well, they wouldn't want to know. And the Lord goes, see when it's really dark? I'm really bright. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. She represents Israel in the story. And Boaz will represent Jesus. He's a man of great wealth. And what you're going to find, you all know the story. He ends up marrying Ruth. And I'll come to that in week three. So let's actually read a wee bit because I'm just talking. Is this okay so far? Is it landing? You getting pictures of people in your head? You thinking about people in your world and in your life, and the Lord's going, 2019 is a year of exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. And I've put my power in you so that you can be grace for them. Now, love it. So what you're going to see is you don't have to do it. You just, week two. Let's read chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the days when the judges ruled, there we go, there was a famine in the land. So they went from Bethlehem and Judah together with his wife. So a man, Elimelech, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, which means the back of the neck. I'll come to that next week. And the other one was called Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Now, can I just say this, that even in the darkest days of your life and in the darkest days of the lives of the people that you are have been surrounded by, that God is working. So the context is found at the end of the Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel, okay? And it's interesting that in Judges 21, 25, it tells us that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It was mayhem in these times. Because when there was no authority, no God-appointed authority, no king, then the people cast off restraint. And it's just the times. People, you know, just kind of describe our times a bit like this. We kind of go, oh, these times are terrible. And, you know, all this kind of stuff going on and social pressure and all that. Yeah, okay. Look, I actually believe that the word is true. It testifies about itself. You know, there's nothing kind of new under the sun, folks, all right? And because when we do that, it's almost like we kind of think in our head, it's more difficult for the Lord today than what it was then. Don't kid yourself, all right? Go and read about what everyone did, what was right in his own eyes. It will make your hair curl, some of you, if you had any. And the point is this, all right? So we'll believe for full heads of hair next year. In Jesus, and we got, come on, Mark, I can see that in Jesus' name, all right? So they don't learn their lessons. Let me just give you some background, and they're in this cycle of defeat. Now, there's things in our lives that in the world they call activating events. Something happens, and then it sets off a series of events in your life. Like, you'll see patterns of behavior in people. When this happens, they tend to do, okay? But it's nearly always the same events that kick things off. In verse 1, the activating event here is famine in the land. Now, it's interesting that they're from Bethlehem. For those of you who know your Hebrew, Bethlehem means Bet, is the house of bread, all right? So Bethlehem means a place where people will be fed. It's a house of bread. But here they are, there's famine and there's none, right? There's no fruit. There's no life, right? So this famine that comes along causes them to move. Now, what's really interesting for me is Elimelech, I told you that names are really important in this story, means my God is king. So this guy, remember, names in the Bible are really significant. So here's a guy whose actual name is My God is King. And Naomi, his wife, is called, it's, her name means pleasant, all right? You think, ah, that's pretty good. Now, what's interesting, the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, all right? Mahlon means sickly, I like this, and Chilion means dying. Now, see, now I told you I grew up in a housing estate, right? And we used to get called in. It was called being called in if you're out playing of an evening, right? You're being called. Do anyone? Well, you middle class people won't understand that, the joys of being called. Well, that meant, well, your mother, father, or granny, normally in my case, would have been calling you in for your dinner or whatever. All right? Can you imagine sickly? Right? Dying? You mean, like, how awful? Do you know what I mean? Imagine calling your kids sickly. I mean, like, what's your name? Sickly. I mean, and they probably were, because we see how the story goes. Their names meant something. So here's a man, right? He's a Jew. He's in the church. He's in the covenant, included in the covenant. So he bears the name of My God is Great, but he knows real pain. Think about it. People in the church, but they live with great pain. And whenever famine comes, he is afraid, because even though he bears the name, he's not founded in anything. So you can see that despite his name and his covenant, he runs. When famine comes, he runs. What do you do? What has your pattern been in 2017, 2018? And how's it going to be different in 2018? You might want to run away. You might dumb it down. But what actually is happening here is when the pressure came on Elimelech and his family, he went from being, my God is great, so there's a flight from faith and belief in the goodness of God to self-reliance. Because he tries to get himself out of the situation where he can because he doesn't think that God can be trusted, so he runs. He looks after himself, he thinks, and looks after his family by running to a place. Do you know what? Here's the crazy thing. He runs to a place where the enemies of Israel are, to the land of Moab. When you're not grounded, okay, in a full assurance of grace, in a full assurance of the love of Jesus, in the unconditional favor of Jesus, just watch in your life what happens when things squeeze you. That's why I'm constantly amazed, I'm going to be honest, when things are tough, that people run from the church and not to the church. I'm just having a tough time. I'll be back next week. Really? It's only in the presence of Jesus that you're going to be healed. Do you get that? I'm telling some of you to grow up. And you say, well, how can you say that, Pastor? Because for 10 years, I stood in here, sometimes puking in that toilet before I came in here to preach. Such was the pressure on me. But I knew somewhere deep down that in the presence of Jesus, he would heal me. In the presence of the Lord, I would find hope. That despite complete bedlam around me, that Penny and I prioritized the presence of God in the church. Do you get that? And don't think that our feelings were anyway, like all the time, really there, because they were not. But one thing I did know is that if I run when it gets tight, then I am screwed. I need to have that assurance of faith in my heart that when it presses in, I come to where he is. I don't run from him, I run to him. Because if the things that come into my life are greater than the one who holds me, then we're all in trouble. Can I just encourage you? Some of that will be your decision in 2019. To go, the pressure is on, but will I be found in the presence of Jesus where his words are life and healing? Or will I go from faith to self-reliance in the hope, all right, that it will all work out? Let me encourage you. I'm standing here today because week after week after week, sometimes not feeling like it, in fact, most of the times not feeling like it, I always find Jesus in someone or something. And sometimes it was just enough to keep me going. Do you get that? That's why I believe in this church. I believe in this church. I believe that the safest place you can be is in the presence of grace himself. Because it's unmerited favor and love and encouragement for you and for yours. But old Elimelech, it's quite hard to say that time and time again, because it might sound like Elimelech. But him, my God is mighty. But when the pressure comes, it's like Joseph in Egypt. You know that? He says, I was out talking to somebody this week who's having a bit of a tight time. And we went out and one evening just to talk. And he said, he's a believer, but lots going on. And he said to me, I just know somewhere, he said that, and he talked about Joseph. He said, I remember some time ago, the story of Joseph. And it was, you know, when Joseph says to his family, come near to me. He says, it's like that picture of Jesus, come near to me. And he said, I'll provide, yeah. Right? So he says, tell my family to come close. You know that story when the brothers come? It's something being found close to Jesus. Come close to Jesus and you'll be fed, protected, looked after in a land where you have famine. That's why this church matters. It's worth it, isn't it? It's absolutely worth it. That's why God puts us in this family. And I believe actually that in 2019, we're going to discover more of that. But my challenge to you, and you know, sometimes in grace, you know, in grace sometimes, and the Lord's been talking to me about talking to you. And when I say grow up, it's not a grow up. It's like a come on, we're called for more. There are levels of grace and experience that you will not experience if you behave like a child. And so you have to go past it. And you have to say, Lord, as you've grasped me and you've held me and you've loved me and you've changed me, now I'm going to step up. And part of that will be, I choose as a human being and a believer before the Lord that whenever famine comes, I'm going to be found in the presence of Jesus. Ooh, it's got very quiet in here. So this story is here for your encouragement. So there's this sense, right, of whenever, you know, do you know what's really funny about this? He runs away from, the way I've written in my notes here, just seen it, is he runs away from the one who's greater than the famine instead of just staying put where he is. He runs away. Now, these stories are here for your encouragement. In Psalm 27:13 says this, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage and wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Isn't that good? I love it. I absolutely love it. You know what's really interesting? The two sons die. Elimelech and his two sons die. Now, I think there's something in that, but I don't want to lay it on too heavy. I just kind of think that in self-reliance, it's that thing, if I'm self-reliant, then I take everything that comes with it. But I'm not saying you're going to die. I don't mean that. But what I mean is there's a picture here of going, the safest place is to stay put and keep your eyes on Jesus. That's safe. Because there you're provided for. The safest place for your friends and family is in the presence of Jesus. The safest place and the best place that they can be is in the presence of Jesus. Outside of that, there's no protection. That's the truth. Do you know what it matters to be a believer today? I was having this discussion this week with somebody very close to me. And I go, no, it matters. You know what? There's a difference between those. God loves us all equally. That's absolutely true. But when you're in the family, he says, how much more? Yeah. There's a difference between, you know, people are going to hell today. That is the truth. We all have to ask ourselves that question, these people that we love so much. Do you really love them that much? Because if they're going to hell, then what? And you're sitting with grace in your heart, go tell them. Because we all will face that. You know, we'll always have that. I was reading an article this week that was talking about post-death, what happens when people's heart stops. Some scientists have discovered that there's still activity. I thought this is a real encouragement for people who, in a moment of death, even though their heart has stopped and it's going, there's still stuff going on. It's like that. I thought, so as I'm reading that, whatever me is, do you know that it's not doing that? Thank you. ECG? No? I've watched Casualty for years. I know what I'm talking about, right? You know, the best thing about Casualty on that point is, you know, it's always at the start, you see somebody driving a truck and you're wondering, like, they're obviously it, right? But how's it going to happen? Is it going to be a tree through the windscreen or something? Do you know what I mean? But do you know that first 3 seconds of some guy eating a sandwich driving a van, you're thinking, oh, mate, you're a goner. Anyway, I digress. But the point is, in that moment, there's still lots of activity that goes on. And they've gone past the electrical signals. I thought, isn't it amazing that in that moment of death, that people can still encounter Jesus? I was listening to that. I was reading that this week, and I thought the Lord go, but even in those moments, okay, before it's done, I have the chance to reach them still. All right? Really cool. Some good high science around what's happening and how long that lasts. And I thought, Lord, if that's true, it's like the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. You know, and science discovering these things of activity anyway. He really loves them. So let me go real quick. Can I just say this, that even in the darkest days, right? So even in the darkest days of people and what's going on in them, God is working in their lives. It's not encouraging, all right? He says, don't run. When it's really dark, you know, don't run. Get into the presence of the Lord. Get close to Jesus and watch how I will provide. That's next week. Watch how Boaz redeems her. I'm just going to say these two quick points and then I'm done. Let's read verses 6-8 really quick. Now, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. All right? Listen, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. That's really important. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness. As you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. Can I just say, that one line just screams at me this really important point, all right? Why did Naomi turn, okay? It's bonkers. It's bonkers that whenever you get to self-reliance, if you're dependent on yourself, you will make stupid decisions. And in the case of Naomi here, she runs with her husband into the arms of her enemies. Don't we do stupid stuff when we're outside of the presence of Jesus when it's our own perspective? That's the point. And people who are there, and you even yourself, you might look at them or you might think for yourself, why do I do this? When this happens, why do I find myself going to the very arms of the things that are my enemy? Why would I do that? But you know what it is? There's lots of reasons why. I don't want to talk about it, but you know what's going to get you out most importantly? If that's you this morning, is Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by giving them food. What does that tell you about your Jesus today? That despite rebellion, constant turning and leaving, God is always gracious and kind. And let me tell you this. It says that in despite of their sin, despite of their rebellion, despite of their running, he blesses them with food. All right? In a land of famine where there is no food and no fruit, he gives them what they need. And that is the reason why she returns. The people in your life, listen to me. Even in your own life, if you are struggling today or if you need more of a breakthrough, if you want to see 2019 differently, the Lord will give you food. He will bless you and love you into change. Do you understand me? That's the whole point of that. He's not going to batter you over the head. When you feel like walking away, getting into a place of self, remember that God is always there and he will turn you with goodness. I love that. I absolutely love that. That is the gospel, isn't it? The gospel for people in your life today and in my life is this. I need more of Jesus, not less of him. When things are tight, I need you to run to him, not away from him. Because when I'm there in that place, what does he give me? Judgment, condemnation, bitterness. No, he gives me love. He gives me grace. He gives me favor. He gives me hope. And he redeems and turns my life around. He changes us with love and goodness. That is the gospel. He changes us with hope for our future. That is the gospel. He tells us, no matter where we have come from and what we have done, let me give you food. What does he draw her back with? And what's interesting, when she was in that place, what was it that caused her ear to prick up to go, let me move myself? What will cause you and yours to move towards the Lord? It's when you hear of his goodness. That's why this church matters. Do you get that? That's why we don't preach a mixture of law and grace. God loves you, but that's why week after week we preach Jesus alone in his beautiful finished work, because that is the greatest love story that people will ever hear. That come and meet a man who will tell you everything about yourself, but you will walk away feeling the most loved that you've ever felt. Is that not a gospel? Will that not revolutionize your 2019? Will that not cause you to grow up, to go in that place? Oh, I love it anyway. Okay, I need to go quick. There's something supernatural happens with people whenever they hear about the love of God. It's the greatest force in the universe. It will turn the coldest, darkest of hearts, and it will reach the parts of us that no self-help, process-driven kind of stuff going on in that world will ever touch. The love of God melts the hardest of hearts. And when they have nothing, and when you have nothing, whenever it feels like you're in a place where there is no fruit, and it feels like you want to run, then turn and bring them to Jesus. Because I'm going to show you next week how he covers them. It's beautiful. The story of Boaz covering Ruth on the threshing floor. The threshing floor is the place of judgment. And she finds complete rest. You get that? I'm going to finish very quickly, very, very quickly. That's Romans 2:4, isn't it? Do you have no regard for the wealth of his kindness and tolerance and patience and withholding his wrath? Are you actually unaware or ignorant of the fact that it's God's kindness that leads you to repentance? That is to change your inner self, your old way of thinking, to seek his purpose for your life. That's the Amplified Version. Let me just quickly read the very last bit of this story so I can set it up. And it's simply this. I want to encourage you this week. Do not leave the presence of Jesus. All right? What I mean is prioritize the presence of Jesus this week. She kissed them and said goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could come become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughter, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung. "Look, Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went until they came to the house of bread. When they arrived in the house of bread, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi," she told them, "call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." I'm going to set that up for next week. The last point I'm making today is my fourth point, is this: don't leave his presence. Don't leave his presence. There's something when you give way to your fear, it has a way of bringing about the very thing that you don't want. Do you know what's really interesting here? Right back at the beginning, they left fearing death, and that's what happened. Isn't that funny? And so my simple encouragement to you is this. Don't ever leave the presence of Jesus. God is working in your life today. God is working in your family. God is working in the people that you love. God is working in the situations that have been bound up and held. And I believe for breakthrough in 2019 for you. I believe that when we talk about going from grace to grace and glory to glory, it is not just about in you. The Lord wants you to be completely loved. He wants you to know above all things how precious you are, but he wants you to grow up and start to see that as you have received this grace, that even in situations that seem so dark, people that seem so far away, that actually the safest place where we need to bring them is into the presence of Jesus. That's why our church matters. That's why God put Exchange here. Not as a club, not as a ministry for tea. It's about real lives being encountering Jesus and being changed. So my encouragement for you is that okay today? Like, there's times where you just have to go with what the Lord is telling you. And this morning was one of those. I absolutely believe, maybe I have faith for your breakthrough that you don't have quite yet yourself. Do you get that? But I'm okay with that. Because today in faith, I'm speaking it for you, over you, and into you. As the leader of this church, you go, the Spirit of God is speaking. Listen to him for you and for yours. Listen to him for this church, because he is leading you from glory to glory. He is leading you to the exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. That is his promise. It doesn't matter how dark it is or what you've done or where you've come from. It doesn't matter where they are. If they're outsiders, even better, because God goes for the outsider. Amen?